You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 145. And Wana is my guest today, having a dream interpreted. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you'll know that when we have a guest on the show, I have not heard the dream. In fact, I know nothing at all about the dream before we press the record button. And we do that so that you can have the experience of listening to the dream for the first time along with me, and have the experience of listening to the way that I respond, the questions that I ask. So that in a sense, there are three reasons for this. One, that people say it's more interesting to listen to. Two, so that you can maybe have a bit of a sense of what the experience might be like for you if you were talking to me about your dream. And three, and this is probably the most important one, that you then a party to the whole process, and you can learn the tips and the skills and the questions. You learn what it is that you need to know to be able to work with and interpret a dream, whether it's yours or someone else's. It's always, of course, really interesting to be a fly on the wall and listen to someone else's dream being interpreted, because what you get is snippets about their life. You know, interpreting the dream helps you to understand why their life is the way it is. And as the guest, and Wana is a good example of this, as the guest has their dream interpreted, they begin to relate what is happening in their life to what I'm saying about the dream. So you as the listener come on that journey, and most of the time you'll find that you'll be able to resonate with some of the things that are happening for Wana. You'll be thinking, yes, maybe that happens in my life, or I know someone who's like that, or, you know, you can learn, gain insight by listening to someone else's life story to help and enhance the wisdom of your own. And I think this is a dream that that particularly does that well. And you'll also hear at the end of the dream, as I take Wana through her dream alchemy visualization, you'll hear her express how that experience felt for her at the end of the dream. So it's a really interesting one, because quite clearly you'll realize by now that we've already recorded that part, and I'm now here adding the beginning to the podcast show. So first of all, I have to give the website addresses before leading you on to the interpretation. So if you haven't been to my website for a while, please go and have a look. It does change all the time. www.dream.net.au. For, you know, more information about dreams, and also for how you can contact me if you'd like either to be a guest on the show yourself, or if you'd like to have a consultation. Or go to my blog at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, where there's a few hundred articles on dreams. And of course, that's also where you can listen to all the podcasts. So including this one, there's 145 hours of podcasts for you to listen to there. So loads and loads of free resources to educate and entertain yourself. And also from both the website and the blog, there are links to my shop, The Dream Store, which is actually janetheresaanderson.com, where you can buy ebooks, books, book to see me, or even you can also book to do mentoring with me, which is for those times when you maybe don't necessarily want to explore your dreams, but just want to explore aspects of your life from many different angles. So there's all of that, but what you're really here for today is to listen to Wana's dream and her interpretation. So here it is. Welcome to The Dream Show, Wana. How are you?
Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much.
Have you had a big day, or have you had a quiet day?
Oh, a big day.
Okay, so as it's a big day because I think this is your evening in your time zone. So we're going to sort out your dream for you so you can go to bed nice and relaxed and have another one.
Yes, thank you.
As usual, of course, I know nothing about the dream that you're going to talk about today. But when you contacted me, you said that you had a dream only a couple of days ago that you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
Right, so 2 days ago.
Yes.
Okay, I'm all ready, and so are we all listening. So it's over to you, Wana, and your dream.
Great. Okay, I was participating in a TV show with someone else, and I know I remember only the ending of the dream. The conductor of the TV show was a tall and kind of formal man, very extroverted on TV and smiling, but when the TV was off, he wasn't as nice. And towards the end of the TV show, when he's finishing, he looks at the camera while walking out and kind of, by the way, asks us, the participants, if we wanted to add something on air. And I said, yes, I have a son. And he interrupted me and said, yeah, you already told us, we know that. And I was aware that I was repeating the fact that I had a son, and I was being a little bit ridiculous saying the same thing again, but I didn't mind because I wanted to get some sort of help for my son. In the dream, my son was around the age of my oldest son, 18 years old or so, and he was handicapped in the dream. So I was thinking, he's finishing this program and I didn't get the type of help I wanted for my son. I exposed myself coming here and he's finishing without giving me the chance to get something from it. And he interrupted me and said, no, you already said that. And he closes the program and that's it. So when I realized I was not on air anymore, I sort of explained out loud why I repeated it. Well, I just said it again because I wanted to get help for my son. And so as he walks away, he probably had second thoughts about giving me some sort of help, I assume. So he says, do you, by chance, I'm going upstairs to the towers. Do you want to come and get a tour? And he tries to encourage us to get interested in going with him. So he said, they are called the Mission Above. And it's funny because when I wrote the dream, it's like I dreamed it in Spanish, which is my mother language, but the name of the towers, the Mission Above, was in English, even in the dream. And my partner that was there participating with me, she rushed to answer, no, thank you, we're fine. And I was, oh, here it goes away, my last chance to get the potter from above to help my son. And I didn't speak up. I just let him go. And we were heading, that's the end of the dream, we were heading to leave, yeah.
And so you felt disappointed at the end of the dream?
Yes, with myself.
With yourself. And any other feelings apart from feeling disappointed with yourself at the end of the dream?
At the end of the dream, yeah, that I mean, how come I did speak up when I was on air and not then when he was inviting us?
Yes.
And also, also the fact that I didn't care being ridiculous, like I was doing things that I knew were not, I don't know, that I was hurting my own image, but I didn't care, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's good, I like that. Sorry, I mean, from an interpretation point of view, I like that. In a sense, that's a great dream, Juana. At the end of the dream, it's almost, you know, after all that hard work in the dream, why did it just go so badly? I've got a few questions to ask about it. I mean, I get what it's about, but I just want to ask a few questions. I want to go a little bit more into that, the sense of the towers being in English. What other feeling, as well as in the dream thinking, oh, that's not in Spanish, that's in English, what feeling did it give you that it was in English?
That I didn't have to translate and find the right word to say it to you.
Okay. So you knew while you were dreaming that you were going to tell me this dream. So So in a sense, it was these were easy words to understand. These aren't words that I have to think about and translate. The mission above is something that comes easily to me to understand.
Yeah, I think so. That's the first thing that came up to me.
Okay,
and I thought it before even you asked me.
That's great. My other main question here, Juana, is the program. You know, it's a TV show, and you mentioned the word TV show when you're talking about the dream at the beginning. But as you're talking about the dream and it's continuing, you're talking about the program. Now, we all know what you mean. We watch a TV show, or we might call it a TV program. But my interpretation antennae are up because I'm thinking, oh, this is about a program or another program, not a TV show, but a program you've been following or doing for yourself, because there are a number of clues in that dream which suggest that that's what you're doing, particularly at the end when it's like the program's coming to an end and I didn't get what I wanted to from it. So can I just ask you just one straightforward question first, just so that we know whether to include it in the interpretation or not. Have you recently finished some kind of program that you've been on?
Finished some program that I've been on.
Some kind of course or something that you enrolled for to learn something about yourself through, that kind of program.
No. What I'm thinking... Well, first let me just say that, as a side note, that a TV show in Spanish is a program. Okay, so maybe that's where in my head it comes from, but that doesn't diminish this analysis anymore.
Okay, no, that's great one. I'll keep that in mind as we go through. And you also said at the beginning, and it may be a language difference too, you said the conductor of the TV show. Now, a conductor is usually a person that is conducting or directing music, and the person who directs the show is the director. So are we talking here about music or about the TV show?
No, it's just the person in the TV show. I was translating in my mind.
No, that's great. Spanish. I think you're absolutely wonderful speaking two fluent languages. So we got director. It's just for my clarification. That's really good. Okay. I love the fact that the building at the end is called the Mission Above, because that speaks clearly for itself. It's like, you know, it's that sense of a spiritual mission, even though it may not have felt like that in the dream. Like if I remove myself from where I am at the moment and I go up high and I look down, maybe I can get a clearer view or a spiritual view or discover my mission from looking from above. That kind of sense of wanting to get outside of a situation and rise above it and look down, which has a kind of spiritual feeling involved in it. So, you know, there's a sense at the end of the dream where you had that opportunity to basically go up and look down on something and you discounted it. You didn't go for that one. And I have a feeling that's why it was in English instead of the Spanish of your dream. It's almost like this is something outside of your normal, what you would think of as your normal self. This is a different language, a different way of looking at something. This is a spiritual view that you discounted in the dream, this opportunity to look at something from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a beautiful play on words. But just to go back to the beginning of the dream, there's a sense of, okay, so your son in the dream was handicapped. In what way did you picture in the dream that he was handicapped? Was it a physical handicap or an intellectual handicap? Or
I had the image of a wheelchair.
Of a wheelchair. So the sense that he was mentally totally fine, but he was unable to get up and walk around.
Can't assure he was mentally totally fine.
Yeah, okay.
But for sure there was a wheelchair.
There was a wheelchair involved. And the dream always reflects a day or two before. So everything that we go through here, Juana, will be reflecting on the day or two before that. And in the dream also, you said that your son was the age of your eldest son at the moment, which is 18, whereas in fact, in waking life, how old is this particular son?
He is 18.
Oh, he is 18 in waking life as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I misunderstood that bit. So he's 18. So in the dream, he was his current age?
Yes.
Okay. And in waking life, he hasn't got an issue going on for him at the moment?
No, thank God, no. The only thing that I thought when I woke up was that the day before the dream, he enrolled to universities.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he filled out and submitted the applications for the university for the first time. So I was very excited and maybe at the same time somehow worried if I'm going to get the help to actually go to the end of the process.
Yeah. Okay, so so in a sense he enrolled for a program which was a study course.
Oh,
yeah. And you just said, I'm a bit worried about getting help for the process. So you almost said the word program there.
Okay.
But by the same token, you know, and I know, and everybody listening that's been following this work knows that while there's some kind of resonance there with your son, a dream is always about ourselves. It's not about your son. It's not about your son going to university or enrolling about university. It's always all about you, the dreamer. But that, having gone through that in a couple of days beforehand where he's applied to university and you're getting really excited about this new program that he's going to do and wondering how you can get help to go through it, that would have triggered deeper stuff within you, resonated with stuff within you, which is then what your dream process is.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. So it's all about you. When did you go to university? How old were you?
Oh, I was 18 when I started. I was 9 years studying in university.
That's a long time.
Yes, it was.
But did you do a double degree?
It was a single degree that it included. Nowadays, it would have been a double degree, yeah.
Mm. And did you have enough help that you needed to do to get through?
Yes, because back home it was the state one, 100% free.
Ah, right, okay. So circumstances have changed in America. Yeah.
Yes.
So, there's that, you know, to some extent you getting excited about him enrolling in university would have brought up some memories of you enrolling for university, but you didn't have to worry about financial help to get through. You had all of that, which was good.
Right.
You know, on the one hand, I guess I'm just pausing here because my brain's thinking ahead. We've got that mission above in English and the rest of the dreams in Spanish, you know, and you've just talked about how back home, in your Spanish speaking language, your education was free. Whereas now living in a English speaking country in America, that's not so. And you've got this building labeled in English in the dream as well. It's like, you know, this is part of the change circumstance here as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm just noticing that. So let's just put your son and his university to one side at the moment, and we'll tie that in at the end. And let's go back to totally focusing on you for the moment. As you say, at the end of the dream, you were so disappointed with yourself because it was like, why did I speak up when I was on air? Like when my image, I didn't care about being ridiculous about my image. I didn't care about what anybody thought. I spoke up then, but at the moment the cameras were off, I didn't speak up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's a strange thought, isn't it? Logically. But when we look at it from the dream perspective, there's what I'm seeing is there's the part of ourself that is a public, like on television in the dream, Juana. So there's me, that's my image, that's my public, that's who I am in public. And I don't mind asking for this, I don't mind asking for help, I don't mind whatever it is. But when the camera's off, when it's just me, when it's really just me and nobody's really watching, strangely enough, that's when I don't speak up for myself, that's when I don't follow through.
That makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? Would you like to expand on that a little bit? Because there'll be some, I know it makes sense, and there'll be some people listening in going, I don't get it. So can you just explain how that works for you in your life a little bit?
I don't know.
So what it means is when the eyes of the world are upon you, you have the confidence to speak up and you have an image in the world. And when you are dressed in that image, when you are working with that image, maybe it's your professional image, your social image, I don't know, but your public image, you feel capable of speaking up for yourself. No matter how ridiculous it may sound, you feel comfortable with, yes, I'm going to ask for what I want. But when it's just you on your own in your own world, maybe in your own personal world or your relationship world or your private world or your spiritual world, you don't you don't stand up so strongly. You maybe say, no, no, it's okay, I'm okay. Is this relating?
Yes, and I can add to that that when things are difficult, it's like I find the strength. But when things are smooth, I lay back.
Yes.
I think it relates a little bit because the private would be when things are a little bit easier and I just don't even do the minimum.
Mm, yeah. And what are the, when that happens, when it's the private and things are easier and you don't do the minimum, what is the downside of that for you?
The waste of time, losing the time on the opportunities to actually do things and waiting maybe for the last minute to have, I don't know.
Yeah. No, that
you
makes
know,
sense.
Last minute, everything is in a rush, so it becomes difficult, and then I find the strength.
Maybe a lot of people listening going, I know exactly what she means there. But life would somehow be sweeter and easier if you started those things earlier instead of leaving them to the last minute.
Right.
So there's a sense that you're motivated by either being in the public eye or what you have to do, or motivated by the challenge or difficulty of a situation. Difficulty motivates you.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, I wonder? What when things are difficult and you're motivated and you get all the solutions and you rise to the occasion, what feeling does that give you?
When I do it?
Yeah.
It's great.
Because it makes you feel...
It makes me feel speed, accomplishment. I don't know. Like... Yes, I can. I mean, I can do it even when it's difficult.
Yeah. And when things are really difficult and you're doing that, even though you know that you're going to break through and you're going to manage it and it's going to be great and fine, do you experience stress, or is there a downside of that part where you're racing in the challenge?
Yes.
What's the downside there?
Maybe take hours of sleep, out of sleep.
Mm.
And looking really bad because of that.
But at the end of the day, you don't mind looking ridiculous because you've won the game. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, right. And I know that's not the way. I mean, I know that if I get into the habit of doing it from the beginning, results will be better. It's not that I can do the best this way. I could do better the other way.
Yeah. In what way do you imagine your results could be better if you started earlier and slower? How, I mean, obviously, like you said, you'd be well slept and you'd look better.
But, yeah, besides that. Right, because many things get done in the minimum amount. Needed, and I maybe don't expand as if, because as I do things fast, I think, okay, if I would have more time, I would expand in here, but I just have to finish.
Yes. So if I change the wording on that very slightly, and I may be putting words into your mouth, but is there the feeling then that, yeah, if I'd started earlier and had more time, I would have been able to take this project further, or I would have been able to take these results further than I did. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So the reason that I put it that way was because I want to come back to that metaphor, Juana, of the sun in the wheelchair. You know, okay, if you've been in a wheelchair for a very long time, you can probably speed around pretty quickly with your hands on the wheels. But as a general metaphor, in a dream, you know, being in a wheelchair, particularly because you saw him being in a wheelchair as being handicapped in the dream, there's that sense of, well, why was he handicapped? Because in the very least, it might have been better for him to get out the wheelchair and walk around and move further. Or if he also had an intellectual or other impairment in the dream, it would have been better if he'd been able to be fully empowered and move things along further. So there's a sense of, out of the wheelchair, maybe he could use his legs and get further, make further progress. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of feeling that the analogy here is that feeling of, yeah, when I'm faced with a challenge and I leave it almost to the last moment, I'm really good at what I do, but I have that sense that I could have taken this project further. It's like sitting in the wheelchair. I've done it. I've done well, but I could have got up and ran. I could have got further. I could have covered more ground. I wasn't limited by being in a wheelchair or by some other kind of handicap. I wasn't handicapped by time.
Yes.
All right. So that sense of, I could have got further. Now, I do want to go more into that, but if you just at the moment, Juana, look at the 2 days before the dream, was there a situation there where you were, trying to do something under difficulty and really rushing and doing well? Or where does this relate to the couple of days before the dream?
Well, it happens to me all the time.
We got to stop this. We got to transform this. But was there a particular thing in the couple of days before the dream? I think I know what it was, but I'm asking you first.
Oh, you think you know? I don't know. I can think of something in particular exactly before the dream. I'm always with private projects and deadlines.
Mm.
And I'm always running behind.
Yeah. So that pressure was there in that couple of days.
Yes.
At the same time that your son got excited, or you got excited about your son enrolling for university, and it bringing back that 9 years for you that you were at university.
Mm-hmm.
Was 9 years the length of time that it would normally take to do those courses?
No, because I took 1 year gap to travel, and also because there are a lot of, it is public and free, but the downside is that there are a lot of strikes, and sometimes they stop for 3 months and there is no class because they are on strike.
Okay.
So you end up adding a lot of wasting time. Yes.
And did you waste time during that wasting time, or did you think, I'll go and do some more study privately by myself?
Oh, I did like two. I don't waste time. I studied two more other things privately at night. I mean, and I took time to meet my husband during one of the longest strikes. So no, I didn't waste time.
Okay, that's great. So there's that theme there of, you know, your son applying for university and it bringing back memories for you about how you used your university years in those days. And as you've just said to us all here, you actually use that downtime, use that strike time to actually achieve good stuff. It was your private time. You spent time to meet your husband. You traveled. You learned things about yourself. You took on other studies. So would you say, looking back at that 9 years, you were different to how you are now, that you did use that private time to do stuff? You didn't waste it.
Right, I didn't.
So in many senses, getting excited about your son going to university, the couple of days before the dream, might have brought up some of these memories, and unconsciously, your dream is going over thinking, that's right, yeah, I didn't used to be like that. I used to be able to actually take advantage of quieter times and get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
But not these days.
I think it's because I'm not doing anything while I don't take care of the things I have to finish, but I'm doing things that are, I'm maybe more passionate about.
Mm.
And, but I never even finished those either.
Yeah.
It's like I start 100 things.
Isn't it great that you have got passions? You know, so many people out there are like, what's my passion? What's my purpose in life? Nothing excites me. And you've got lots of them.
Oh, yeah, too many, and never nail them down.
Never nail them down.
And actually, now that you say that, sometimes there are so many that my family even make joke of me. It's like, focus on something, you know, finish one thing. When I mentioned the mission above, the towers, the name of the towers, I was getting the feeling that there is one or maybe two or three things, which is very narrow for me, that are my mission, that they are telling me, like, from above, that's
yes.
what you have to focus on.
I have the same feeling, Juana. Okay. So that you've got that sense of not only one, as you say, one, two, or three, because you can only have one, two, or three of those passions that you could focus on that kind of physical level of being able to perhaps choose and name them, and also that sense of the spiritual mission from above of these are your three passions because this is part of your spiritual nature, you know, in terms of this is maybe what you were born to focus on, or another way of looking at it, your evolving further spiritually for you is something that you will achieve by working with this one, two, or three missions that are above everything else. You know, sometimes it's not the actual mission or passion that you choose, even though that mission or passion is wonderfully helpful to a lot of people, or wonderfully creative, or wonderfully satisfying, or whatever it is. It's not always that goal that's important. It's what you learn about yourself by focusing on and doing that thing. It's the same for any aspect of life, isn't it? You can be doing something physically, you know, you can decide that you want to run a marathon, and it's never about really crossing the finishing line when you've run that marathon. It's about the things you've learned about yourself as you've trained to be able to run a marathon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like bringing up your children by the time they're 18. You know, if someone had told you at the beginning, you might have gone, I don't think I'll put my hand up for that one. But the things that you learn about yourself along the way as you bring up these beautiful human beings is just stunning. You know, it's the things on the longest journeys, it's the things you learn about yourself. It's the spiritual, it's not the project or the family or whatever it is. It's this, those things are extremely important and wonderful to us, but over and above that is this sense of what you learn about yourself as you go through the process. So that's what I'm feeling from your dream. I agree with you, the mission above, it's like, yeah, this one, two, or three, although your dreamy mind says one, the mission above all other, is in the one sense a spiritual mission because it's the mission above. It's the spiritual intent, it's the spiritual learning that you get by evolving, by getting out of the wheelchair and going that further distance, by starting the project earlier and sticking with it, so that at the end of the day you actually get more done, because it's in the getting more done, or maybe that's a bad wording, but in the not having to rush to the finish, in being less stressed and being able to take time and meditate and contemplate while you're doing or being or getting done the mission, is what makes it more effective and what is more spiritually helpful to you. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Learning about myself in the process.
More
important than finishing it itself.
Yeah, even though the thing that you finish may be incredibly, maybe the greatest gift that anyone's ever given the world, it's still, at the same time, crucially important that it's also about what you learn about yourself in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in a sense, if you then step back and say, oh, look, I know I've got lots of passions and all my family are telling me I've got lots of passions and I should just focus on one. And I am saying to you, Juana, isn't that great? There's a lot of people out there can't even name one passion. Isn't it wonderful you got all of these? But by the same token, they're not helpful to you or anybody else unless you do pick one.
Absolutely.
So that's where you're like the son in the wheelchair in the dream needing the help.
Yes.
Right. And I love that in the dream, at the beginning of the dream, it's like, I don't care when I'm on a public TV show, a public program. I don't care if I look ridiculous. I want to get out there. And it's all about getting the help. So there's a part of yourself that doesn't mind about what people see or how you appear to be. You already realize that the priority is helping yourself to focus on one thing and I keep hesitating to say get it done because as you yourself said earlier, if you leave a project to the last minute, as you say that you commonly do, you've got all the adrenaline and stress. That means you get up, you get it done, you go, wow, yes, I did it. That's good. I got it. But as you also said, if you'd started earlier, you could have got more done because you would have been more relaxed. You would have had more sleep. You mm-hmm. would be more, and when we make decisions or we get creative from a relaxed point of view, we're usually more creative, aren't we, than when our back's against the wall, I think. Do you think?
Sometimes not.
Sometimes
in my case. well, yes. When I'm forced to get to work anyway and not being distracted by other passions, yes, I probably do it that way and the results are better, yes.
Yeah. So you used the word distracted there, so that's an important thing. It's you've got something to do, and distractions can take you away from that. But then again, you've got something to do, but stepping away to do something like a meditation or have a really good night's sleep, or to step out of the project for half an hour and smell the flowers in the garden, can sometimes, it's not a distraction, but it's actually something that enhances your ability to step back into the project and take it further.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the distinction between something that's a distraction, which is something that takes you away from something, and something that is actually stepping into a bigger and quieter space that enables you to make things, to be more creative and get more done.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the thing that you're having a little bit of difficulty with.
Yes, because I get carried away with those.
Yeah.
Instead of just benefiting briefly from them and being able to return to work.
Yeah, that's right. Because you kind of got that in the dream where the moment the TV show's finished, like the pressure's off, it's then, oh, no, I don't want to climb up the tower. whereas actually stepping into that quieter private space should really give you increased enthusiasm to then go out and do wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking over the notes that I wrote while you were talking because there was something else I wanted to pick out of here. That's right. That right at the beginning of the dream, you said, "Yes, I have a son." And the director, the conductor, said, "Yes, I know that." Like, and you're thinking, "Oh, am I repeating myself?" But I don't mind repeating myself because this is really important to me. So there's the sense in the dream there that you know you've been round this cycle before. Like, this is something that keeps coming up for me, that keeps repeating. But I'm really keen to sort this out one way or the other.
Yes. Yes.
And go on.
Also lately I have this feeling of like touching bottom, like being even upset with myself because there are some ideas that I had them for quite a long time and I never get them done and they're out there already done by others and it's like that feeling of like when am I going to actually do things myself instead of just staying in the first step of the idea and the planning or making sort of a plan on how to do it and then let it die there.
Mm. Your dream suggests it's something to do with not speaking up. How does that fit in with what you've just said?
I think it's because I don't think I'm capable to give the next step because I have these, I believe, great ideas and I really don't know how to put them into reality without outside help. I'm missing a key part.
Right. So what I understand you're saying is that you've got all these ideas, and the one thing across all the ideas that tends to stop you is that you feel that you need outside help to
manufacture them, to make them. Yes, there are all sorts of arenas.
And why don't you have that help? What stops you? What is the main thing that's stopping you finding a manufacturer, for example?
Investments. I don't know. Business knowledge. Marketing. I have this contradictory feeling that I'm completely aware of. It's like, I don't like selling myself. It's like, if I'm good, they're going to come to me.
Even though you didn't mind in your dream getting up in front of the camera and going, I don't mind being ridiculous. I want help.
Because I'm not shy, but I sort of have this belief that if my work is good, it's going to speak for... It's like I hate sugarcoating my work. It's like I feel I'm bragging. If it's good, it's going to shine by itself.
Okay, I completely understand. You said if it's good, it's going to shine for itself. I was actually already writing down here, it's going to speak for itself, because you've gotten the dream not speaking up. Mm-hmm. I like the word shine better, but I was just beginning to notice myself that it's almost like what you're saying, if my work is good enough, it's going to shine for itself. If my work is good enough, it's going to speak up for itself. I don't have to speak up for it. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, your dream's got, the only reason I'm mentioning that one is your dream's got this theme about what I will speak up for and what I won't speak up for. Mm-hmm. So in the dream, you're speaking up for help. I want help. But at the end of the dream, when the help is offered in the shape of the conductor to come up the towers and have a tour and show you how it's all done, you decline it. So when the help is there at the end, now those towers is to the mission above. And as you've said, you feel like you've touched bottom, where there's all these projects where they're all really good, but you're just not getting that help to get to step one, let alone to the above, to the mission above, to the top tower. So at the end of the dream there, you've actually got the opportunity to go right to the top. Someone is giving you help. And you say, oh, no, thank you. Or your partner in the dream, which is a part of yourself, says, oh, no, thanks. And then you go, why? I didn't speak up for myself. So you know, you have highlighted for us that there are several reasons. You think if the work is good, it should speak up for itself, which we all understand. But you particularly highlighted your aversion to marketing and not wanting to sugarcoat things there. Mm-hmm. And in your dream, you've got this conductor who was trying to encourage you to go there, and you've described him as, on TV, I wrote down, you said, formal, extrovert, and smiling, but not as nice when the TV camera's turned off. So you're looking at a part, you're looking at formal, extrovert, smiling. That's a little bit like the sugarcoating, maybe, because you don't like him. He's not as nice when the camera's off. It's almost like he's got sugarcoating when the camera's on, isn't it? Hasn't he?
Yes.
All right. So he is really...
And false. I think the word false describes.
False. Okay. So there's a sense that there's a part of you which you picture in your dream as a TV show conductor or director. That could take you straight to the top, straight to the mission above. But you don't want to go there. You decline that kind of help because you see that as false.
Yes.
You see marketing and sugarcoating as false.
Yes. And I recently had to do something at work around the projects that I was working on. And it was to sell it to the client, something I never did before. And I think I was great, and I got that feedback also at work, that I had to sell the project to a client, not to design it, but to sell it, to tell him why it was like that and what for. And I did what it would be like, let's say, if I would do a website of my work, which I don't do. And I would have to, like, write the philosophy of my work and all that I would considered as sugarcoating, I would feel bad doing it, but I was so good doing it.
Oh, the irony of life.
And when, because I used to think I didn't even know how to do it, but I do know how to do it.
So what you're saying is there's part of yourself that's really, really brilliant at doing marketing and selling the thing, but you're keeping her down because you don't like her.
Yeah.
So when was the earliest time in your life, like maybe even back to childhood, where you did actually, you know, you were the extrovert and you got out there and you were able to sell yourself and sell anything, like, you know, was it in theatre, was it in a school play, you know, where did you get up and really kind of shine and was slapped down and told that little girls shouldn't be like that maybe?
Oh, one of the careers I did at night while I had time during university was to be an actress, and I did act on public. And I was very good at it, and I had a great offer on a TV series program, co-production with a Spanish company. And at that time, it was when I decided to walk out from that career, because I had to choose between family and career. I was still recently dating my husband, but he clearly said not with me because, I don't know, he didn't see himself being married to an actor. And I sort of had the feeling that if I would go that way, I wouldn't have the family I was hoping I would have, at least for many more years.
And there are, and that's the decision you made, and you know that can't be unmade. And as you say, you've got to a point in your life where you've got lots of passions and lots of wonderful projects that you could bring to fruition. And if you can do that, you know, you'll be even happier with your life than you are now. So it's not a loss that you didn't pursue that career as an actress, but it does help us to explain what's holding you back, because there's several things there. You did that. You took on that job as an actress when you were at university. So there's a correlation with your son going to university now as well. I wrote down the word program as you were speaking, because you said I was an actress on a program. So that brings back the reason why we're talking about a TV program in your dream. Mm-hmm. And what you essentially said was, and which I can completely understand, you felt you were faced with a choice between a family and an acting career. And you thought if you went, given the circumstances at the time, you thought if you chose the acting career, you wouldn't have a family, and you prioritized that. And you've had a beautiful family, and your dream has brought up one of your sons as a symbol in the dream. So we've got that sense of family going through the dream here as well. So my feeling from that is that, you know, spiritually, you've learned heaps from not being an actress because of all the other things that you've done, the family that you've had, the career that you've had, the wonderful passions that you've got, and everything else in your life. But it's a sense there's a part of Juana, the actress, way back in time. How old were you then?
I was 23.
When you were 23. So there's a part of you, which is still within the psyche of your being, that is still 23, that is going, but hang on a minute, I was a really good actress. I'm disappointed. Yeah. You know, we didn't follow it through. We didn't finish it. Mm-hmm. And you were on TV. You were up in the eye of the public. So there may be that part of yourself that, even though you enjoyed it at the time, that because you made the decision to stop being an actress and focus on your, you know, getting married and having your family and having your other career, that you have, in a sense, made that actress part the villain. You know, that's the bad thing. I wouldn't have wanted to have done that. That was sugarcoating. You know, you've turned it from something that was probably a really wonderful ability that you've got and a wonderful skill that you've got, and made it bad.
Okay.
To justify the choices that you made.
Yes. Right.
So that when you now think marketing, you're thinking, oh, I could do that. I'd be very good at that because I know how to act. But marketing would be like putting on an image. It would be like acting. It's not the real me. It's something I don't want to go there, because if I bring out my acting qualities to sell my stuff, to, whether it's sugarcoating your stuff or whether it's just awakening people to the skills and potential products that you've got. I mean, how can they know that they're there if you don't tell them about them? That's marketing. There's a lot of horrible marketing out there. I totally agree with you. There's a lot of triple sugar-coated marketing, which just makes you feel absolutely nauseous and sick when you look at it. I agree with you. But there's also a level of marketing which is just about saying to people, hey, I've got this. Would you like this? And they don't know about it unless you say that. So there's a part of yourself that is very good at that because of your acting that could stand up and speak up for you, like in the dream, could speak up for you and your products and do that. But you don't want her to do that because you associate that with something negative, something that you had to give up because it was stopping you having a family.
Yes, let's unvillain her.
Yeah, we definitely need to unvillain. I'm so glad you agree. The alchemy is almost done in that moment, but we will proceed with it. And I think, Wana, that once you unvillain her, you'll also suddenly, out of all those different passions that you've got, one or two of them will actually float to the surface and become quite clearly to you the one that you would like to pick up and market. Whether you get someone else to help you with the marketing or whether you actually do it yourself, it'll become clearer to you which one you want to run with, because probably the reason you've got lots of them is that having lots of them actually is a safe way of stopping you doing any of them.
Oh, yeah, I feel like I boycott myself.
Yeah. You're so awake to yourself. It's lovely. So all we're going to do is we've got to find a way to unvillain the actress. So in a sense, the actress is very similar to the TV show conductor in your dream.
Yeah, in a villain way.
In a villain way, because you've made her not nice. She's actually really lovely. She's a part of you, but you've made her not nice. You've villained her. Hey?
It was a male.
Oh, it was a man.
A man, yes.
Yeah. But these projects that you've got that you'd like to do, they are work projects, aren't they?
Yes.
So that's really like the male side of yourself. It's your male side, you know, working with the world out there.
Yes.
Conducting your own show.
Yes.
So we could work with unvillaining him, but let me just pause for a little thought here about the best way to do this. Yeah, because even at the end of the dream there, you've got my partner, she. There's a sense that there's a girl there that's saying, no, thank you, we're fine, we're not going to go up. She could, yeah, I can see that. I didn't speak up. Unvillain. I think what we need to do is, can you picture yourself at age 23?
Yes.
Being the actress. I think what we'd like to do at the end of the dream, where you've got a female partner that says, no, thanks, we're fine. I think what I'd like to do, see how you feel about this, is that obviously the sensible thing would be to actually take the tour, to go up the towers with a TV show conductor, get in contact with the mission above, because it's just like where you said, I feel like I've touched bottom and I need to get right up the top. You know, if you talk about touching bottom, immediately we're going, okay, what's the opposite to bottom? It's above, it's the mission above. We want to get up there. So I do want you to go up in the tower. But what if we take, what if that part of the dream, you say, yeah, I'm going to go up in the tower because actually this TV show conductor is much nicer than I thought he was, and that you take your 23-year-old actress self with you to go up in the tower, and as you walk up the stairs you realize what a stunningly beautiful, shining, passionate, talented person she is, and that she's always been there as a part of yourself, and that you now really want her to join you in your current age. Something along those lines. Would something like that sound good to you, or is there something there that doesn't feel comfortable?
No, it sounds good.
Okay. So when we unvillain her, can we also kind of enter the spirit of acting and actually have her wearing like a villainous mask and have her take it off?
Say that again, please.
Have her wearing a mask like a villain and actually get her to take it off and show her beautiful face underneath?
Okay.
Um, I think that's what we'll do, and I'll lead you through it, Juana, because I think you know, I think we have unmasked the villain just by talking about her. And I think when you actually, you know, reflect on what we've talked about today, and when you listen to back to the podcast, I think your awareness will begin to allow you to actually find a way to market your projects, or to take on board a marketing person who can do it for you, that does it without sugarcoating, that does it in a natural and beautiful way, that isn't to do with sugarcoating, that is actually saying, these have natural shine, but I have to show you, otherwise you wouldn't notice them yourself.
Okay.
So, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I sort of want to add, the woman that was my partner that said, no, thank you, we're fine, when she invited us to go up, she was much older than me.
Oh, okay. Who did she remind you of?
She was really not taking care of herself. She, I mean, it's like her image is really not... like, she couldn't care less of her image. But the fact that she was much older, it's, and when you said, can you remember your 23 years old self? And it's like I had a little resistance trying to get her back. And because that, in a way, I also feel like maybe time is already gone and the train already passed, and not for acting itself, but for many other things. I mean, I'm not 23 anymore.
But I'm sure you've got at least another potential 40 or 50 years up your sleeve if you live to a ripe old age.
Yes, I hope I live long, long.
So that's a lot of time.
Yes.
You know, and there are a lot of role models in not only people who are in the public eye, but many everyday women these days that are doing wonderful things, or only even beginning to think of wonderful things to do in the second half of their life.
Yes.
So we're still heavily conditioned to think that if we've missed the boat, by the time our kids leave home, it's all over for us, just because it was a couple of generations ago.
What do you mean by that?
Well, a couple of generations ago, by the time your children left home, you were probably pretty close to just sort of watching TV for a year, or maybe not TV. TV wasn't invented then, but just having like 10 years to do the gardening before you dropped down dead, because people, we died earlier a few generations ago.
Oh, I know. Okay.
So it's only recently that we realized that we've actually got potentially very long lives ahead of us when our children leave home.
Okay.
But we've been brought up by parents and grandparents who had different experiences. And we've often learned from parents and grandparents that really what we haven't done by the age of 40 or 50 is too late, you missed the boat.
Okay.
That conditioning that you're brought up with is really hard sometimes to undo.
Okay.
So it's realizing that, you know, and I think that's really important in your dream there. You've got that sense which you've noticed yourself, and there's a sense of there's someone there in your dream representing it's too late, time has passed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's too late to have that particular acting career, but it's not too late to have either another acting career, but more importantly, more relevant to your life now, Juana, it's not too late to bring the qualities that you had at 23 into the foreground to use to help people to see how much your ideas and products and talents are shining.
Yeah.
And to be comfortable doing that, because she's not the villain that you thought she was.
Okay.
So bearing in mind what you've said, let's change the visualization to make it more, you know, make it simpler for you, to maybe have you just forget about her, have you just yourself accept the invitation to go up to the top of the tower. You take your 23-year-old self with you, you you take off her villain mask, you see her beautiful shining face, you both go to the top of the tower, and you look down and you say, wow, isn't the view great from up here? And let's have a TV camera up there or something, and you're just going to say to everybody, you know, I have got the most beautiful products that I've developed. You've simply got to come and see these. These are so good. Like, that's not sugarcoating. That's just saying, oh, wow, you should see what I can see from up here. Something along those lines. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, let me take you through it. Close your eyes and take 3 deep breaths. Okay, Juana, so here you are in your dream, and you've just been invited to go all the way to the top of the Mission Above Tower. And you decide, yeah, this is a great idea. And you turn around and you hold the hand of your 23-year-old self, the actress. And she's got a mask on. She looks like a villain. But as you enter into the door to go up the tower, she takes her own mask off, and underneath you see she has the most beautiful, shining, lovely, open, trusting face that you could possibly ever have. She almost looks like an angel. She shines. And you walk up the stairs, and all of a sudden, there's only a few steps, because all of a sudden you're at the top of the tower, the Mission Above, and you're still holding her hand, and you look out the window, and you look down on your life. And you look down on your ideas and your passions and your projects, and everything is shining like diamonds, and one diamond is shining more than all the others. And you say, look, look, and the actress grabs a microphone. She looks into a TV camera and she says, look, everybody, I have to speak up. I have to tell you about this wonderful diamond that I can see from here, because I know you can't see it. And she holds the camera down and shows them the picture that they've not been able to see until now, of this beautiful, wonderful, shining diamond. And you breathe a big, deep breath, and you feel so good that you've brought this wonderful angelic part of yourself back on board, because from up here you can see exactly what to do, and take 3 deep breaths.
Thank you very much, Gentris.
It's a pleasure. How did you feel doing that?
Amazing.
Okay, so you know, you go on.
No, it's like I touched something. It's like, I don't know. It tasted very good.
Much of it's done in that one, Juana, but as you know the formula, just keep doing that. Repeat that 20 times a day for 2 weeks. And whenever it feels like it, and things will shift and change for you. One of those projects will shine more than all the others. You've unmasked the villain. You can bring all that energy back on board. Your husband and family will be totally happy with that energy, because it's going to do wonderful things for you and with you.
Thank you very, very, very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for being a lovely guest on the show. That was really lovely, wasn't it? I always enjoy having a guest on the show. So if you'd like to contribute in that way, just pop along to one of the websites or the blog, and you'll find details about how you can put your hand up and say, yes, I'd love to bring a dream onto the dream show sometime, please. I think there was a lot to learn for us all from Juana's dream there. So please do look at my websites and my blog. Help them to shine. Help me to market them. Help to get the message across. It's not all about you, Juana. It's about me as well. No, we all do that for everybody, don't we? If you've liked what you've listened to today, if you found it's helpful to you, if you found, you know, listening to any of the 145 episodes of The Dream Show helpful, if you enjoy reading the blogs on my site, please help them to shine by passing the links on to other people, so that they can maybe have some of the benefits that you have enjoyed from this as well. And of course, if you'd like to actually book and have a quite intense and confidential one-on-one with me, there are those options too. So thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. And the next episode, 146, is due out on the 13th of December 2013. Have a wonderful 4 weeks. I hope you have some wonderful, inspiring dreams, have some wonderful, exciting things happen to you, and also learn a lot about yourself along the way. I'll speak to you in the middle of December. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.